When you don't know what to do, simply wait. Now that's really simple to say. It's simply said, but not easily done. Not for us. And that's why I quoted from this author, Richard Hendricks. I'm going to read him one more time. Second only to suffering, waiting may be the greatest teacher and trainer in godliness, maturity, and genuine spirituality most of us ever encounter. Why must we wait? Well, God wants the best for us, but often He requires us to wait for it. And the book of Acts would never have been written without Acts 1:8, which says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." That is the central explanatory verse of the whole book of Acts. But it wouldn't have been written if people hadn't waited. Jesus told them to wait for the Father's promised power, His promised power from on high. And 120 of them, they did wait for 10 days. But what if some of them, because they were feeling cooped up, or maybe they were anxious to get going or whatever, get on with life, what if they had left before the wait was over? And what about us? What about us? What if we quit waiting before God sends the help that we're hoping for? It's worth the wait, but waiting is hard. Because sometimes we must wait in the midst of pain. We may be waiting for God to bring healing to our physical pain. Our physical pain from chronic illnesses or chronic diseases, degeneration that happens with our bodies. We may want to be well so much that we will walk on a leg that is not yet healed. It's still trying to recover from an accident. We may walk on it and find out, oh boy, and fall again, or whatever. Or we may be getting up and overdoing it before we've really recovered from an illness. That's really dangerous. I've done that before. And what happens, there's a mechanism with it. You actually get sicker the second time because your body's trying to throw off an illness and you didn't let it get with the strongest germs held on to the end. Those strongest germs take over. So, yeah, there's a whole mechanism I learned in nursing about why you have to wait to recover before you start your activity again. Well, we may be also waiting for relief from emotional pain from losing loved ones. You know, that grief, saying goodbye. And saying goodbye never really diminishes the pain of grief. It never diminishes the pain of grief. A memorial service helps us to say farewell, but it can't take away the memories that we go home with from the memorial service. Time does not heal all wounds. God can heal all wounds in time if we will totally just submit to Him and let Him do His job. Sometimes we have to wait a little longer than we'd like to. He takes His time sometimes in doing the healing process. And we'd like it to move along faster than it really moves, but we have to wait. We have to wait. And we may be feeling relational pain. Relational pain that comes from conflicts in relationships. And sometimes bitterness that is resident from the conflicts. And friends and relatives, they can actually become so upset with each other that they treat each other like strangers. And each is waiting for the other to apologize. You know, that seems how to... Oh, I'm not going to do anything until they apologize. I'm not going to do anything. Will they ever get it back together if one of them doesn't give up? A past hurt that is inflicted by someone can create bitter enmity with that person. And it might last a lifetime. We may be waiting for the pain to subside, for the pain to go away. But God is waiting for us to forgive. Waiting for us to forgive so that he can heal the wound, the relational wound. Well, Jesus ministered spiritual, physical, emotional, relational healing when he came to earth. But even he waited on the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit for his healing ministry. This passage, you know, there's a lot of things in my life that have influenced me. And one of these is this scripture. It helped me to understand something about Jesus that I never really understood his humanity. And it's Luke 5:17. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and from Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. And I've read so many things that Jesus had that power in himself to do all this. Here it says he waited for the power to be ministered to him by the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus awaited the Father's timing for his ministry, so must we. God wants the best for us, but often we have to wait for it. And sometimes we must wait in the midst of our work. We have to be busy, and then God'll work with us, you know. When we have a lot to do and little time, we cry, "Help, Lord! I got to get this done. I don't know how I'm going to do it." As we age, life doesn't slow down and get simpler. Have you found that? You know, retirement is busier than most people expect. And why is that? It's because life must go on, and a lot of times everything we wanted to do, we put off. We wanted to wait for retirement. And now it's due for those things to be done, and they're all coming on us. We've got to do those things. But you know something? When it really comes down to wanting to accomplish a priority, a real priority, we prune away those things that are non-essentials, unnecessary activities. Only the essential is left. And that's sometimes what we have to do in order to manage among all the many things we have to do. But Jesus told his disciples what was the essential. What was the essential activity? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. But before going, wait. Oh, wait? Before going, we have to wait? If it's such an important job, if this is such a top priority, such an important job, let's start now. No, wait. Wait. But if world evangelism is such a great thing, we need to start planning right now. We need to hurry up and do some brainstorming to get some good ideas about how to accomplish this. No. We have to wait. We have to wait. Okay. I prayed for 10 days here, waiting on the Lord. Now, that's what they had done. They prayed for 10 days, waiting on the Lord. It's time to hit the road or people are going to start saying, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. You know? And we might be thinking what other people think. That's not what we've got to do. What we've got to do is wait on the Lord. You know, like that song. We've got to learn how to wait. John Milton, he has a famous line, and I don't know the whole poem. It's from On His Blindness. They also serve who only stand and wait. And you know, he was blind and he couldn't do a lot of things. And so he was writing on his blindness, and that's how he was expressing, I too am serving, but I'm just waiting. And I have to wait. And they also serve who only stand and wait. Carpe diem. You know what that means? Seize the day? Well, carpe diem is the cry of youth. Yet many young people try to seize the day only to find at sunset that they've been chasing the wind and they can't catch it. They tried to seize the day, they cannot catch the wind. But you know something? Those who wait get to ride the wind. And that's what it says in Isaiah. It's a promise that we all should know by heart, almost especially as we age. Isaiah 40, verse 31, verse 30 and 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I think there's a song that goes with that, that we ought to learn, Rosemary. We should learn that song. But God wants the best for us. But sometimes it always requires, or many times it requires, a waiting process. We have to wait for it. And sometimes we must wait in the midst of the unknown. And this is the hardest, I think, for us. Things are unknown, but we still have to wait. The disciples, they anticipated the familiar hopes that were common in their day. And that's, you know, glorious dreams of a glorious future for Israel. Well, so they asked this in verse 6. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You know, modern society has no power over an unknown future. It's sometimes we think because of science and technology, yes, society has power over the future. Really not. Not over the unknown future. But society tries to tell us, oh, you can control it. Let us show you how in this seminar. Or let us show you how if you give us this much money, and we'll show you how you can do this and control your future. Well, it may work out, it may not, because it's an unknown. It's an unknown. We cannot. Jesus told his disciples, and he told us, because it's in the Word, so that we would hear it too, to let go of the unknown future and let God handle it. Let go and let God. That's a key to the Christian life. Let go and let God. But let go of an unknown future and let God handle it. It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. All we really, really, really need to know about the future is that if we follow him, we will experience life eternal, life abundant. That's all we really need to know. However, when Jesus did describe the future, he was honest about the difficulties, about the trials, about the hardships that we might have to face. We will have to face. Indeed, life is hard, but God is good. Life is difficult, and even dangerous. Life can be very dangerous, but God is good. And Jesus gave us this promise. This is another one of those verses that just grabbed a hold of my heart. And you've often heard me preach this in my messages. This verse, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. If life wasn't dangerous, if life really wasn't that dangerous, then salvation's promised deliverance would be meaningless. If God said, I got deliverance for you, well, life's not dangerous, why am I even needing that? You know, nobody dies and there's no sickness, no accidents, nobody falls. I mean, what if that was the case? Then the promise of deliverance, the promise of salvation would be meaningless. But it's not meaningless. Skeptics often ridicule Christians, saying that we live in a dreamland. We're just living in a dreamland, hoping for salvation in Christ. But we can answer them very easily. By ignoring their need for salvation in him, they are living in denial. They're in a dangerous world. They're in a world where they will die. This world, and they don't know when. It's unknown. They don't know when they're going to die. But Christians, we can have peace. We do have peace in this world of unknown dangers, of unknown trials, of unknown difficulties, if we place our hope and our trust in the one who has overcome this world, and Jesus has. Our Christian hope is not a conjured up emotional attitude that merely puts a good face on a bad world. That's not what Christianity is. No, it's a supernatural infusion of God's grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:3 says this, and it's a wonderful, wonderful verse. And I ought to use this. I don't think I've used this as one of my benediction verses, but I think I will. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's outpouring in our lives empowers us to do everything that God has commanded us to do. Where to go, what to do, what to say, you know. His power is there for us to do that. It's the filling of this overflowing outpouring of the Spirit in our lives. And it happens even in the midst of ongoing pain or unfinished tasks, work that we're doing, or unknown circumstances. That hope, that overflowing hope is still there during that time. And sometimes the Holy Spirit does bring healing. And I know each of us have experienced this, I'm sure, where we were praying and then God gave us healing. And it's like, I've seen some miraculous healing. Like we say, God helped us to recover in a faster way. But I've seen some, I never told this story for a long time, but a guy's eyes that were healed right in front of me, and it just like blew my mind. I wasn't expecting that. It was amazing. But sometimes the Lord will bring that healing, but not always. But one thing He will always do, one thing that God will always do as He fills us with the Holy Spirit, is that we will be empowered to share our faith, share our testimony, our story about how God has worked in our life. That's what the world needs to hear. This overflowing hope is meant to overflow from us into the lives of others. That's what the whole idea of sharing the gospel is about, because if they will also believe and trust in this God of hope, they will have the joy and the peace that their heart longs for. And they may be resisting a little bit, but you know what? Deep down in their heart, they know they want that joy and peace. It only comes from the eternal life, the abundant life that comes in Jesus Christ. Our best, whatever is the best for us, that's what God wants. He wants the best for us. He is a God of love and a God of wisdom, so His wisdom informs His love to choose the best for us. And He has given the Holy Spirit to show us that everything that we need can be provided for to serve Him, to give our lives to serve Him. Abundant life isn't living a perfect life in a perfect world. That's not what abundant life is. It's living an imperfect life in an imperfect world with a perfect Savior. That's what it is. That's what abundant life is. And Jesus tells us, wait for God's power from on high. This power is not just for our own personal resource of joy and peace, so that, I can just have joy and peace. It is actually an overflowing hope that can pour out into the lives of others. Let's pray that each of us waits for that expectantly on a daily basis, not just during Pentecost season, because Pentecost season is a statement that, yes, I'm waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill my life. We need to do that daily, every day, all year long, not just during Pentecost season, all year long, for the rest of our lives. Let's pray. Father God, yes, it is hard to wait sometimes. And we have all had to wait. But Lord, We're still waiting for, many of us are waiting for healings. Many of us are waiting for you to move in our lives in certain ways. And each of those are personal, and we hold them up before you. But Lord, I pray that we will wait upon the power of your Holy Spirit to be poured out in our lives on a daily basis. Before we go out the door to go out and do our things today, on that day, or be involved in activities of the day, I pray, Father God, that we will seek your face, wait upon you, and wait for the power of the Spirit to move us and to guide us and empower us to serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.